right now, the Defense Department is spending about 9% of its base budget on healthcare costs overall. A large portion of that is for the TRICARE program, and there are actually about twice as many military retirees and dependents in the TRICARE system as there are active duty military personnel. So it is increasingly an important part of the DoD budget, and it's actually one of the fastest growing areas of the DoD budget, growing at about 5 to 7% a year.
At the same time, what sort of dent would it put in the budget to increase those premiums for TRICARE members?
Well, it depends a lot on the way you would structure the increase in premiums and just how much they would go up. But if you look back at what the Bush administration proposed, because this isn't a new idea, it was proposed by the Bush administration back in the 2007 budget and in subsequent budgets after that as well. And what they had proposed at that time would have ended up, once it was fully implemented, would have ended up saving the department about $6 billion a year in healthcare costs. So it is significant money that we're talking about.
Is there a really good chance that this is going to make it through this time around, particularly considering the economic situation that the whole country is facing?
I would say the chances aren't good that it'll make it through Congress this time around, but they're probably better than they were several years ago, simply because of the growing pressure on the federal budget and to reduce the federal deficit. Look at defense spending in particular. There is, growing pressure. You see it from the Fiscal Commission, and you see it from other bipartisan groups that have come out calling for cuts in defense spending. If you're going to cut defense spending, this is actually one of the better ways to do it, because you don't lose force structure, you don't lose capabilities, you don't lose weapon systems or anything like that. So I think for those reasons, it's going to get some renewed attention this time around, but I still don't think the odds of it passing Congress are that high.
Is there a concern that it might also have an impact on recruitment and retention in the military?
That concern has been voiced, particularly by some of the groups that represent military retirees. From the data that I've looked at from GAO reports and CBO studies and studies by the Congressional Research Service, if you look at the factors that influence recruiting in particular, military retirement benefits aren't one of them. And simple reason is that for 85% of enlisted troops, they're not going to stick around the 20 years for retirement anyway, so they're not going to get this benefit. They don't attach any value to it, particularly when they're 18 years old and enlisting. If you look at retention, their healthcare is certainly a big part of that, and in terms of what keeps people around until the 20 years for retirement. But all we're talking about here is not cutting the benefit. We're just the proposal that's out there is just to increase the annual premium of it. And so I don't know that really will have that big of effect on retention either.
When we're talking about military personnel, it's usually the sacred cow. Nobody wants to touch anything that might adversely impact the men and women of our fighting force. I mean, take, for example, the hiring freeze. That's not going to impact the military. That's for civilian federal employees. In this particular case, though, it seems like this is something that's almost a negotiable point, particularly when it's the Secretary of Defense who proposes it.
Well, right. And this particular proposal only affects military retirees. It wouldn't affect anyone who's in the active duty military right now or the families of those who are in the active duty military right now. It would just affect how much military retirees pay in their premiums. I think in general, though, anything that has to do with changing military benefits, and making them less generous has been avoided in the past few years for the simple reason that we're a nation at war. These troops are deployed all around the world. on behalf of their country, and people are have been unwilling to look at some of these issues, even though they may be issues that don't necessarily affect the active duty military.
This would actually make that big of a difference, though. You told us the numbers earlier. I'd like to revisit that, because it doesn't seem like this would be a pool that you would be able to get that much more out of since they're retired.
Well, so what you're doing, the biggest source of savings is not from the increase in premiums that people would pay. It's the fact that you would incentivize more military retirees to opt out of the military healthcare system altogether. Because right now, for example, the premium for TRICARE Prime for family plans, so to ensure, you know, the military retiree and all of their dependents, is $460 per year. So that's about $38 a month. The average premium that American workers pay, the average healthcare premium that they pay, is about $4,000 a year, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation's research. And so you've got this growing gap between what military retirees can pay to stay in the military healthcare system versus what they could pay their private employer. And a RAND study found that about 70% of military retirees between the ages of 38 and 65 actually have access to private health insurance through their employer or their spouse's employer. So what this would do, if you raise the premium that military retirees pay, it would incentivize more of them to just opt out of the system and go into the private health insurance market, rather than staying in the military healthcare system. And when they stay in the military healthcare system, that's what costs a lot of money to DOD.
Military retiree doesn't necessarily mean men and women who are 65 and older. These are people who are young, in their 30s, who may be working now in the private sector.
Right. So to be a military retiree, generally you have to have served 20 years in the service. So if you enlist at 18, then you can retire at 38, and you start drawing your benefits and your pension right away. If you're an officer, you would typically wouldn't go in until you're about, 22 years old, and then you could retire at 42 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so all we're talking about here is the healthcare premiums that military retirees pay between the time that they retire and the time that they turn 65. Once they turn 65, they actually go into a different program because they qualify for Medicare, and then DOD provides them this new benefit that's called TRICARE for Life. And it's a Medicare supplemental insurance policy that covers much of the things that Medicare doesn't. That's actually free. They don't pay any premium for that. The TRICARE for Life program, that's just for retirees that are 65 and older, is actually new. It was enacted in 2001. And it's costing the department now $11 billion a year for that program alone. So that's another area that could be addressed, perhaps making military retirees over the age of 65 pay some premium for TRICARE for Life. But that's not a proposal that's been floated yet that I've seen.
Okay, that was actually my next question, because we're talking about two different groups of people, the young retirees versus 65 and older retirees. And so when our audience does come to us and say, hey, what about me? Figure out which group it is that you're in, and that
right.
is what you can expect to come out of this.
Right, right. Yeah, so it's a difference of, military health care that's provided for military retirees of working age, those that are less than 65, versus the TRICARE for Life program, which is for military retirees over the age of 65 who aren't working age anymore.
As this proposal makes its way through, what is it that folks who would be impacted should be watching for as people debate this?
The things to watch for is how the increase in premiums is structured. Some of the proposals out there are just increasing it, a flat rate for everyone. And right now it's a flat rate for everyone. What the Bush administration had proposed previously was to vary the rate based on what rank you were when you retired. And so that could make a difference in how much you and your family have to pay. And so there's a number of ways it could be structured. Another thing to look for is how is this phased in over time? Is this something that would take effect immediately, or would it be the increases be phased in over 2 or 3 or even 5 years? Those are all the different factors that you'd want to look at.
Okay. Is there anything else about this that you would like to add, any bottom line piece of advice or information for our audience?
I think this is a hot-button issue to watch. I think we've already seen that the Fiscal Commission's co-chairs and their proposal that they put out several weeks ago, they included this as one of the budget-saving, spending-saving items. I would expect that if they do reach a consensus and put out a consensus report tomorrow, which is their deadline, that this is something that we could see included in there as well.